going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He is Aaron Halterman, and this is Blinkers Off. Man, good to see you again.
Yes, yes, sir. Third week in a row.
This is getting a little old.
I know, it is getting old. I thought on the drive down, I got to hang out with them again, and then I got to hang out with you this weekend.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, like a four-hour car ride.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, you in a car, that's always a lot of fun. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Taylor Swift being played. And that's just really going to be a blast for 4 hours down the curves and mountains of Arkansas.
Yeah, how'd you know I was going to bring that playlist?
No, I just know. I've been with you before. This isn't going to be our first trip down this year. Unfortunately, it will be our last.
Yeah, man, it's hard to believe that it's already almost done for Oakland this year.
Yeah, this is the week that we kind of dread in a lot of ways, but are excited for in a lot of ways, too. So it's weird that it ends with the... But I like how it ends with the biggest race of the meet is the last day. I think that's how it should be. And so it's going to be fun. A very good 2 days of racing for Friday and Saturday. Arkansas Derby, loaded. Oakland Handicap, very strong, considering it will take charges there. And that's a big name. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think it's interesting. I think there's a lot of races where you can single or maybe play two horses, and then there's a lot of races you need to play all. So, you know, I think there's going to be money to be made, especially on Saturday. Saturday looks like, to me, a card that's going to be some prices.
Yeah, I agree. All right, yeah, let's get right to it. Today's show, we're going to cover an entire racing festival of the South at Oakland Park, including the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, Grade 1 Apple Blossom Handicap. We'll cover a few more as well. The dudes will also visit Keeneland and preview all the stakes racing, including the Toyota 1 Bluegrass Stakes. I hate when they start naming races. So, you know, it's like everyone knows it's the Bluegrass.
Right.
You start adding Toyota.
I know.
It's annoying.
It's it's a sponsorship, you know.
You got to make the money, I guess.
I mean, if anybody wants to be on our page, you can have the whole page for the right price. Let's just throw out a number. If you're listening and you want to pay $4,000 a month, you can have the whole site. If it's not that, then you can't.
We could change the name of the website to like Larry's Lawnmower RacingDudes.com. It could be we'll change the whole thing.
For $4,000 a month. Yeah, we can do that.
Really? That's what you're valuing?
That would be okay with me.
Okay. That'll buy out his half of it, I guess.
There you go.
We're also going to talk about the Grade 1 Makers 46, Miles Stakes.
Yeah, make sure to mention the sponsor, you know.
Send us any of that, you know.
The RacingDudes.com Arkansas Derby.
Yeah.
We just officially sponsored that race.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Someday. Yeah, right now, if we sponsored a race, it would be the RacingDudes.com $4,000 claiming race at Prairie Meadows Race 3.
Maiden.
On a Thursday. Yeah, maiden claiming race. Yeah.
That's a little bit more our style.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this. All right, Racing Festival of the South at Oakland. Another year. Another closing of the meet, but like you said, they hype it up so well and have so much so many good horses that come in for this that while it is sad that it's over, you really have the finale that kind of deservingly at the end of the meet.
This is a worthy finale as well. Although, you know what, it's really not the finale. We have one race after this too that is our favorite race.
Yeah, that's true.
The Trails Inn, a mile and three quarters, but the Arkansas Derby, and we've got a great field. We have Tapiture, and then we have a lot of horses that have kind of had some broken dreams along the trail that could really come up in a big way and say, bam, all those guys that backed me on Twitter never forgot about me, this is for you, and they're gonna win, you know, because that's what I feel like. Commissioner, that's a horse I still am believing in, and everybody's kind of jumped bandwagon. Conquest Titan, that's a horse a lot of people are believing in, and I never have. Strong Mandate, maybe I'm still the only one that still believes in him, but I still kind of do. So, you know, it's kind of the road of broken dreams for a lot of these horses. And then you got Tapiture, who's just kind of the man right now.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out for sure that you know, anybody that's not followed horse racing closely, or maybe the last time was at the Rebel, Rosario now on Tapiture from Strong Mandate. And now riding Strong Mandate is Luis Saez, who has ridden him once before. But, of course, we know the real reason why. I mean, it's D-Wayne. And, of course, he's riding the beast in the race before.
Right.
So, interesting mix-up. And, poor Santana.
I feel really bad for him because I thought he rode a very good race.
And he's not even in the race now.
I know. It's just, that's the ugly part of horse racing sometimes. I want to believe that this was an owner's call and not the trainer's call. And I know people want to bag on Steve Asmussen and find anything wrong with him. But I really don't think he would have set Santana out in this spot. I really don't. So probably more of an owner's call. Yeah, you know what? Long term, yeah, you'd probably rather have Rosario, but how's a guy like Santana ever going to get the experience if you don't let him do it? Mm-hmm. I don't think Luis Saez was just a real hot, sought-after jockey before he won the Travers with Strong Mandate. That's not going to happen. He's not going to win the Travers. The Travers with Will Take Charge. No, he wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
But you gave him a chance, and it worked out. Now, obviously, he may have been the best jockey you could have gotten for Will Take Charge at the time. But anyway, I'm rambling, but I don't think it's right is basically what I'm saying. But, you have Joel Rosario. You can, my goodness, he's one of the best riders in the country. So it's not like you could say it's a bad decision. It's just not a fair decision.
Yeah, the thing about Rosario is we're talking about this the other day, you and I. He's kind of cooled off since, mm-hmm. He was his very peak, last year, summer. He was untouchable, it seemed like. And then now it's kind of, he's still a great rider. I'm not trying to knock him for that. But he's kind of come back to earth a little bit right now. So, yes, yeah. It's still Rosario. But like you said, you know, what had Santana done wrong? Other than, he's won some big races for the horse. And, that Rebel was a hell of a race, hell of a battle, he held his own pretty well, I thought.
He did, too. Yeah, I did, too. He's a young kid, and Mike Smith definitely was bullying him around a little bit. Nothing against Mike Smith. He did exactly what he needed to do to win the race, and he should be patted on the back for it. But at the same time, Santana didn't back down from him. No. So I liked that in him, and I liked what I saw out of him. So maybe he doesn't win the battle today, but I think in the long run, that's a race that he's really going to benefit from. So, maybe he'll ride for a guy that's a little more loyal, in the future. That's about all you can do. But anyway, we better get to the race here. What a field of mixed emotions. I think if you can make a case for a lot of them, and I think the odds are going to be very well spread out for what we're talking about. A lot of these horses either have huge upside, or they're trying to redeem themselves. They're horses that at one time or another people thought, well, that's the Derby winner. So it's going to be interesting. And I think you can separate these into three categories. You got the three local horses: Tapiture, Ride on Curlin, Strong Mandate. We know they're close to each other. We know if one had not having a great week, one was having a great week, that would make the difference with them. But they're all three very close. Then to me, you've got three horses that you can pretty much throw out: Knock 'Em Flat, Danza, and Thundergram. Just not liking any of those three at all. Danza, pretty good little two-year-old, but really going to have to make a step up. I only had one race so far this year. Knock 'Em Flat, really just outclassed. And he's actually cross-entered in another race, and I think he'll go to that race.
He did run a great race
last out,
but this is, you're going from a maiden 60K to...
If I had a guess, I would say Donnie K. Von Hemel entered him in the stakes, and the owners wanted him entered in the Arkansas Derby. So he'll try to probably convince him not to go to this race. He did run very good, though. He's a promising horse, just not an Arkansas Derby horse, I don't think. Thundergram, that's a real head-scratcher. Mark Cassie has Conquest Titan in the race. Not really sure why he entered Thundergram. you know, maybe to go out there and make sure there's a hot pace for Conquest Titan, but that third grand's really not a fast horse, hasn't really shown that, so I don't know. And then the other group of three are the legit shippers, Commissioner, Conquest Titan, and Bayern. Commissioner finally gets off a track to favor speed. Mm-hmm. He's going a mile and eighth. I think if there's going to be an upset, I think he's going to be the one to do it. Conquest Titan is a horse that has a lot of hype. I've never liked the horse, not even before. He kind of had some mediocre races, I'll say. I didn't like him going into those either, and so I'm not going to start today. He's going to beat me if he wins. I mean, that's just it. I do get a little nervous that a lot of people I respect like the horse, but I can't see it, and I've never seen it, and I'm not going to change my opinion, you know, just based on what somebody else says. So that's where I'm out there. And then it's Bayern, and this horse...
You could go two different ways. Very, very wide ways.
It's unbelievable. This is like a keg of dynamite. You have no idea. The horse could run last. The horse could pull a Bodie Meister.
I was actually thinking that.
Yeah.
That could happen.
It could. He's got a lot of ability. The one thing, and I have heard this, I've heard the two compared, Bodie Meister and Bayern. The one thing I will say, Bodie Meister got valuable stakes experience before he came to the Arkansas Derby. He ran second to Creative Cause in a great race out at Santa Anita, where Bodie Meister ran a fantastic race, just got beat at the end. I think that race really set him up really, really nice for the Arkansas Derby, where he just blew out, and yeah. It was really just a fabulous performance. I don't see that with Bayern. I think he needs this race. This could be a good
horse. The thing is, though, he literally needs this race.
That's true, because of the time off.
This is a one. It's either he's in or he's not in this race, basically. He's run big or not.
To me, I just can't see him doing what Bodie did. I think he's more likely to run that race that Bodie ran when he lost her Creative Cause, where you look and you go, wow, Bayern ran really well. He just needs a little more time. Maybe let's not put him in the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets
second, runs really well and gets second, he's in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't put him in it. I really wouldn't. And I know, well...
You know they will.
It's easy for me to say because I don't own the horse, but if we own the horse and he finished second and we had a chance to run in the Kentucky Derby, you probably couldn't turn it down. So it's really easy for me to be sitting here in this room saying, hey, no, you better not do it. I just think for long-term purposes... Unless he puts on a Bodie Meister type show, or you know, a win, he doesn't have to win by that much. But if he win by a couple of lengths, yeah, you better put his ass in the Derby. But if he finishes second, I would point him toward the Preakness. But again, if he finished last, I would not be surprised. It's a long layoff. He doesn't have any stakes experience. He's never really ran a race where he's had to do anything other than just get to the lead. So that's where I'm at with him, and I'm not going to leave him off any pick four ticket, but I'm also I'm not going to play him in any kind of straight wagers.
Yeah, that's the horse I look at here, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, you really don't have. I mean, you got to look at the positives. I mean, this horse has won by a combined almost 20 lengths in two starts. Has basically never seen anything other than in front the whole time.
Yeah.
Is very fast horse. Started off 7 furlongs, went up to a mile. His bloodlines show that distance is not going to be an issue whatsoever. Those are all the positives. The down parts is he hasn't beaten anything. Of course, when you win by 15 lengths, you kind of you got to think he probably would have beat someone in there.
Right.
Hasn't raced in, 58 days or something. So that's very crucial here. Baffert does do pretty well, though, with horses off layoffs. So that necessarily isn't too big a concern for me, to be honest with you. But just the experience factor is a little bit... Now, I will say this. It's a stakes field, but it's a relatively smaller stakes field. Yeah. So if you had a 13, 14, horse field, I would be a little worried about it because I'm guessing that Santa Anita is a lot of those, you know, those are very small fields he was in. So, yes and no. This is a horse that I'm definitely not leaving off any kind of any kind of exotics. Another strong mandate. Obviously, D-Wayne, love him. I love the connections, everything like that. But I'm so off this horse; it's not even funny.
Wow.
I don't. Not a fan anymore.
Wow.
Love the horse. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not the Kentucky Derby, Arkansas Derby. I'm not seeing it right now. Commissioner, I'm with you. You and I both have liked this horse for a while. Finally, you know, closed well at Sunland last time out on a track that had no business closing on. Of course, at Gulfstream, that was a different story. In Fountain of Youth. But before that, you know, he ran well, and at Saratoga and Monmouth ran well, and so you got to think, finally getting on, like you said, on a track that that he likes. Of course, Mike Smith's going to jump on another horse here instead of being take down the 3-year-old race, and then I'm kind of with you. You did a good job of dividing those into three categories. I'm not Tabature. It's just, you know, Rosario jumping on board only. You know, Rosario has done nothing wrong, and Tapiture's done nothing wrong, and it's hard to knock Tapiture in this race. I mean, yeah. He is clearly the best 3-year-old running at Oakland. It's not close. And then yeah, the other ones I'm throwing out. Right now, what I'm leaning is a Tapiture Commissioner Bairn try. Conquest Titan is one that I've bet him a few times. I'm more on him than you are, but I'm not. I think I would put him maybe as second or third horse here, but I'm definitely not going to put him on top.
I think my pick's going to be Tapiture to win the race. And it's such a boring pick. I hate that. I hate that pick. It's really boring. But at the same time, you know, I just look at it and I think. I just think he's better than Strong Mandate, and that hurts to say, but I think he is, and I think he's better than Ride on Curlin. I like the last couple of weeks what Ride on Curlin's had. I think he's going to be the wise guy horse here for a lot of the locals. He looks really, really good, but I just think Tapiture's a little bit better. It's really hard for me to put Commissioner on top. Like I said, I can't play Bayern in straight wagers, so I'm gonna pick Tapiture to win. I think your try, I really like it. I would not count out Strong Mandate.
Maybe as in my try, that would be scary to leave out.
I would not count him out. Here's why: D-Wayne Lucas knows how to get a horse to Kentucky Derby. That's all I'm gonna say. He's going to get him there. I cannot pick him to win. I do think he's going to hit the board. I don't think we've seen the real Strong Mandate. I hope we do at some point. Because I feel like we have. I mean, we saw him.
Yeah, we saw him.
And he just hasn't come back.
No.
For whatever reason. That Rebel was just a heartbreaking performance. I'm still not done with him.
Well, at 9-2, I think I might make that bet, huh?
Strong Mandate has the best triple crown trainer in the history of the game, and that's why I'm not done with him.
Well, that's true, but I mean, if D-Wayne could be training you, and he would still be the best triple crown trainer ever, but it doesn't mean you're gonna win.
Let's put it this way: D-Wayne has gotten lesser horses to the Kentucky Derby.
I'm not gonna argue with that. So, I'm not gonna argue with that one bit.
He's gonna get this horse to the Derby. I don't know. I don't know how, really, based off his other performances, but I think he's going to run a big race. I really do. I just have a weird feeling that he's going to run big, and I probably shouldn't. And like I said, I'm the only one left, and that's fine. I've been in the only D-Wayne camp before it was cool to be in the only D-Wayne camp.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is nothing new for me. I'm not going to waste a lot of money on him, but if we're playing a pick four, he's going to be on the ticket, or I'm not going to play.
I was just going to tell you, I'm not going to let you play him.
Well, then we're not going to play the before that day together, because he's on my ticket. That's just it. Hey, if I would have told you a month ago, you're going to get strongman at 9-2 in the Arkansas Derby, you would bet it.
A month ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, what's changed? One race. He ran one race, and it's changed. That's what I'm saying.
That's horse racing.
Yeah, but that's not smart to just say, okay, he ran one time. After that, I told you you would get 9-2, and you say, yeah, I would play it. And he's ran one race. Well, and now he's off? I mean, that's not smart.
Well, the race before that, Tabacher was clearly the best. Then he got him and he got beat again by clearly the three better horses.
I think he got beat by two better horses. Okay, yeah, I think he's better than Ryan Curlin.
I'll give you that, yeah.
I think he would have got beat by those two. Yeah, okay, but...
But they're close. They're right there.
They're right there.
I'm with you. I'm burnt out on the horse just because I've been burned a couple times badly.
We have.
But he's definitely one of the talented... We said this the other day. We're starting to see how well this Oakland group really is. How good of the group they are, because you're starting to see all these other races run... Now, don't count San Diego Derby. There's clearly a freak out there. But a lot of these other races, you watch them, you think, well, we've seen better at Oakland for sure.
Yeah.
So when you put it in that sense, he's been right there in all those races. You got to say he's one of the better on the top. He's in the top half of the three-year-olds.
Well, think of it this way. Okay, forget about California Chrome because he's on another level right now, right?
Yeah.
Pretend California Chrome didn't exist and Opportunity had just ran in the Santa Anita Derby. He would have crushed it. How many did he beat Candy Boy by? 3 or 4 lengths, probably.
Yeah, it was.
So Opportunity would be at the top of the list.
Now all of a sudden,
Strong Mandate was only beaten a couple lengths by Opportunity, and he was sandwiched in the stretch. So I'm not saying he would have beat him because he wouldn't have, but he may have only lost to him by a length, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Now we're stretching out a distance. Even though the horse doesn't, and his races doesn't really look like he wants to go too much farther, the breeding says he can. And I'm not going to forget about that. So maybe at 1 mile and 1/8, that's what he needs. And that's what he's needed all along.
I guess that was that's where I'm at. I'll leave it at that. The last couple races, you don't get the sense that he's wanting to win the race at the end of the race.
You're right.
Yeah. That's all. We'll leave it at that. Because I thought he was going to win the Southwest at the top of the stretch. Just kind of seemed like, of course, Tabacher. I mean, that was you weren't going to run him down.
No,
but it just seemed like he kind of got
a little wobbly legs. Yeah, like a drunk.
It was early in the year too. So,
well, that one I give him a pass. The last one I definitely thought he was going to win.
Yep,
and he just didn't do it. So,
maybe I was a little too hard on Strongman. Strongman Day, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I had a conversation with my good buddy from California, Ryan Stillman, who's very good friends with John White.
Name dropper.
I know, but no, but this is important. And he said, he asked me about Strong Mandate, and he asked John about Strong Mandate because he knows I liked Strong Mandate. And he said, well, Ryan, here's the one thing I'll tell you about Strong Mandate. I will never give up on a horse trained by D. Wayne Lucas. And I said, that's enough for me right there, because I feel the same way. Because great minds think alike.
Well, I don't know about that. Think about giving up on, let's say, We'll Take Charge.
Right. How about if you gave up on Oxbow after he was terrible in the Arkansas Derby, ran well in the Kentucky Derby, but not...
You have short memories in this game.
I have a very short memory when it comes to his horses.
Yeah. Only his.
Right.
He can do no wrong.
I feel like we're wasting too much time on Strong Mandate.
You didn't even ask what my pick was.
You said Tapager, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, you gave the trial. Okay, I want your pick.
My pick is I'm taking that stab. Now, I'm not liking the odds. I was hoping to get a little better, but Bairn, that's where I'm going.
Really?
Yeah. So, I'm thinking a big performance, and I could, like you said, we could be. I have to take a stand on something. That's where I'm taking a stand.
Okay, let me ask you this: 2-1 is the morning line odds.
Yeah,
you're not going to play the horse at 2-1.
No,
are you? Now, what will you be looking for? And you got to be realistic here. What would you be looking for? Where you say, okay, I'm going to bet this horse either across the board or to win or whatever.
4 to 5, 4 or 5 to 1.
I don't think you're going to get it.
I don't think I am either.
What if he's 5-2?
No.
Really? Okay.
No.
Yeah. I like that. I like that strategy. I'm not going to bet Tabacher at 9-5. He's going to have to go 1-2.
That's just it. My horse, if you look at those, if Tabacher come post time, is at 9-5 or 2-1 even. Mm-hmm. We'll say 2-1. 5-2 on Barron. I'm not playing either one of them.
No, no.
I would, because you know, strong mandate will be 4-5-1 probably around there because still the Oakland.
Yeah.
Commissioner might be my bet because you got to, again, we just talked about this earlier with another horse of Pletcher's, General Lett. When Pletcher is at Oakland and he's got a horse that's capable.
Won it last year with a horse that we didn't think was capable.
Right. You got to look for your value sometimes. And a horse like Barron, especially. Tappeture, if you love Tappeture, you've been on Tappeture this last, then by all means, bet the hell out of him.
I would rather play Tappeture at 6-5 than Barron at 5-2, just because we know Tappeture can do it. Yeah. We don't know Barron can do it. So, yeah.
But if you want to be like a wise guy and you want to go all week saying Barron's going to win because he's got the ability to do that, and go for it.
How about Ride on Curlin 12-1? A lot of people, a lot of the locals said they really like him.
I have a feeling that horse is going to be bet down hard.
Okay, if he's not, well, what if he does go off at 12-1? Do you want a piece of that at all?
I'm not a fan high of that horse at all.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay.
I don't feel like horse. We've had this debate with other people, but I just have no. And he's not proving me wrong because he's not winning, but he is running better than I thought at the longer distances.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to still continue to believe that as we go longer, it's still not, he's not going to, I don't feel like it's going to boost him.
I feel like if this horse didn't have Curlin in his name, it wouldn't get near the hype.
No.
Take the breeding out of it and just look at his performances. They've been good, but they haven't been to where we're going to try to bet this horse down in the Arkansas Derby. I mean, if you like him, I wouldn't take any less than 10-1. Now, 10-1, that's an okay play for me, but if he gets bet down, I would not take that horse at anything that's not double digit odds. So
well, I mean, you didn't really say, so you're sitting, you're sitting around even or so come the Arkansas Derby, and given the odds that we kind of threw out there, 9-5 and 5-2 on Barron, and say 10-1 on Commissioner and 10-1 on Round, whatever, what's your bet?
I'm going to bet Commissioner if he's you know, 8-9, 10-1. I'm going to bet a little bit on Tappeture if he's around 2-1 to 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's probably it. Because I think the way Strong Mandates ran, you need about 8-1 before you're going to bet him. So if he floats up to that, yeah, I'll put a little bit on him. But really, I don't have any problem playing Tappeture 2 or 3-1 in this race, and then I'm gonna play Commissioner because I still believe in him.
Yeah, so. I think you could sum up saying Tappeture, Commissioner, Barron, or Strong Mandate, whichever of those four for me pose the best value come 5 minutes to post. That is where I'm gonna look at.
What I'm hoping for this race, one last thing about it, then we'll move on. I know because we've drugged this out, but it's our Arkansas favorite race. Derby, yeah. So I mean, it's our show, and
we're gonna do it the hell we want.
Exactly, it's our favorite race. Now I lost track. We're mad. What I hope happens is we've made a good amount of money, and we've got a pick four going into this, and we have a lot of these horses played
because
we're probably going to single We'll Take Charge, which we're getting ready to talk about. So if we single him and we have a lot of it in the Derby and all in the last race where we can really just sit back and enjoy these last two races and we don't have to play you know, a straight wager because we've got a big pick four played. So that's what I hope, and then I'll hope for a big price to come in.
Right. Yeah. I think there's not a horse out of those, other than those four I mentioned that if it beats me, I'm going to say, oh, man, I should have had that. You know, Conquest Titan is the one that's closest, and I'm not enough of a fan to include him.
It just kind of depends on the structure of the ticket and how much money we can play.
If we can afford it.
If we can throw him in and you still got a decent ticket, I think we better do it. But
we learned that the hard way.
Right.
All right, next, we're going to just kind of go backwards on this day. The race right before, of course, the Oakland Handicap. Only a field of 7, but it's a very powerful field of 7. Revolutionary gets the rail. Mike Smith, Todd Pletcher, not a bad combo. Not sure if you heard of them. We'll Take Charge. This dude, I mean, there's make no mistake about it. If you follow us, you know this is our horse. Right to Vote, Carve, Moreno. we don't like that horse. Gold Lad, a horse that I really like. And then Prayer for Relief rounds out. So Phil 7, but God, I mean, that's a course. We'll take charge. You got to lead with that. I mean, this horse, it became an Oakland afterthought all the way to, if you don't know him and you follow horse racing somewhat, you're crazy, because everyone knows this horse. And it doesn't hurt the fact he's got this crazy blaze on him that you can recognize from a mile away. And, yeah, I mean, that Breeders' Cup Classic last year, I think everyone became a fan after that, because that was obviously in the national spotlight.
And it was awesome.
World spotlight. Yeah. And then these past two races, I mean, the only thing that's beat him is track records. Okay. So, I love the quote that a buddy of ours, three-time champion of the Dudes Challenge,
right?
Aaron West.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's seen both oceans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's already seen both oceans this year, and now he's at Oakland. So a horse that's ran that well, traveling that much back home, I like his chances.
You know, I love that we have this show where I can get on a platform and talk about one of my favorite horses. And one thing I really want to mention to everybody out there, when we're talking about Horse of the Year voting and older male voting, let's remember one thing. Exactly what you just said. We'll Take Charge has already been to the Don Handicap at Gulfstream, then all the way over the other coast to the Santa Anita Handicap at Santa Anita. And now he's back at home. He's already ran in three stellar races. So that has to count for something. Even though he finished second in those two races, he's not ducking anybody. And that's what I just respect the hell out of the horse. And he had a little blowout workout the other day, 35 seconds for three furlongs. Yeah. That shows you that this horse is sharp.
Yep.
Saw the horse jog 2 miles last Sunday. And I told you before we got on air, the one thing I wanted to do, I was going to watch him, and then I was going to watch other horses that were doing the same thing as him, just jogging, you know, kind of backwards around the track. There's just no comparison when you watch him and you watch other horses. He's unbelievable. He's beautiful. He's huge. He has an amazing stride. He just looks like a happy horse out there. Come on. There's no way I'm going to pick against him. No. At my home track, my favorite horse in training right now. Are you kidding me?
You ran a mile and a quarter last race. So, you know, I like that angle, actually.
Exactly.
Because you know the horse is fit. Uh-huh. We knew it before, but you know he's fit. He ran a mile and an eighth race before that.
Yeah.
And they put him up to mile and quarter. Now he cuts him right back to mile and eighth. And this horse, you know, is ready.
Do you remember the last time he ran a mile and a quarter and then cut back to mile and eighth? He ran the mile and a quarter on the Traverse, barely beat Moreno. Ran the mile and eighth Pennsylvania Derby, absolutely murdered Moreno.
You know, actually, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, looking at this, you know, ran, of course, the Belmont at a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Came back at a mile and an eighth to finish a good second. That's kind of where we're like, whoa.
Actually, that race when he finished second to Palace Malice,
that is
one of the races that are very, very underrated about that horse. And I love that I get to talk about my horse today. I was sitting in the stands at Saratoga in this race, okay? And I had $50 to win on Palace Malice because I love Palace Malice, and he was doing well. And I was sitting at a point in the grandstands where it was just after the turn. We were down pretty far. And I saw We'll Take Charge moving. And the $50 went out the window right then.
You didn't care?
No. I stood up and I told Heather, I said, he is running huge. He ran huge that day. That may have been his best race at Saratoga.
Look, that was his breakout performance.
He ran big. The track was favoring speed that day. He ran huge. And you know, I think with a little bit better ride, he may actually won that race. I mean, he ran so big.
Of course, I mean, look at that was the race I took the blinkers off.
That's right. And ever since,
it's clicked. You know, like you were saying, you know, came back to win, got second that mile and eighth,
uh-huh.
Ran a mile and quarter, Traverse, of course, won,
mm-hmm.
Cut back to mile and eighth, won. You know, ran the mile and a quarter classic, came back, won.
Yeah.
So I love that angle.
Listen, was that race at Churchill a mile and eighth? Or was it a mile and a quarter? I can't remember.
It was a mile and eighth.
Okay, so yeah, there's another cut back where he won. So, listen, I don't care if they're running 6 furlongs or 3 miles. I'm going to pick him no matter what. Mm-hmm. He's better than these horses. I know you like Golden Lad. I do too. Going to be a nice horse. I don't think he's will take charge.
Yeah, Golden Lad, be honest with you, just because you know that I really like that horse. I was like, I'm gonna pick Golden Lad in this race just because I know you're gonna pick Will Take Charge. And on top of that, I feel like that horse is improving so much. But
yeah.
I sat down, really, studied the form, tried my best to take my bias, out the window for Will Take Charge. And I just looking at this body of work, and granted, Golden Lad is still early, so it's like he's working that way.
Yeah.
But you look at the body of work, and Golden Lad's last race was just a 6-7 length win, just killed it. And granted, helped that he raced at Oakland already. So, that was his Oakland race. So his best race right there, I feel like, just not quite to where we're at with Will Take Charge. Will Take Charge, third off a layoff. There's a lot of different things about this horse if you didn't already like the horse just by pure what he's done.
One more thing that I find very cool about this. If I would have told you that the 1-2 runners of the Travers would headline the Oakland Handicap, you would be very, very excited. And that's what we got.
Yeah.
And also two horses that are quote-unquote rivals. So
I guess we got to talk about that horse now.
Moreno, yeah. And it's cool that he's coming because it does kind of give you that other aspect of the race where it's like, oh, great, we'll take charge of Moreno. These two horses have kind of hooked up against each other, and we'll take charge as beat him, how many times in a row now. So,
yeah.
But it's still kind of cool he's here, and we will get to go, I'm going to be standing right by the 5 slot in the paddock.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to mouth the trainer. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to yell at him.
Cool.
I don't like this horse.
No,
but
hell no.
You gotta think this. He'd just be the one that just pisses you off. This is like, if we'll take. Obviously, we want him to win, but almost any other horse in this field, you'd be like, that sucks. But that's horse racing. Yeah. This horse beats us, I'd be upset.
Yeah, if he wins, that's going to ruin the whole meet.
So clearly, since we've talked about that for pretty much the entire preview of this race, we'll take charge.
Yeah.
Is our pick, and he's our single.
Yep.
And I don't think there's many people that will argue against that. But, Revolutionary. We didn't even talk about Revolutionary. I mean, clearly...
It's a good reason. He's slow.
Pletcher, Mike Smith. Something's happened. I mean, this horse is not maybe what some people thought... last year, finished third in the Kentucky Derby, of course won the race prior to that, finished fifth at Belmont, then went up. He didn't run again until earlier this year and beat Allowance Field.
He beat Allowance Field and he barely beat him, and then he was smoked in the Dawn. I mean,
Falling Sky did come back to win the next race, so.
Well, good for Falling Sky, really. If he wins, I'll be shocked. And I know you said you wouldn't really be before we went on air, but I would be shocked if he won. And you know what, though? Here's the deal. I've been shocked before, so.
Well, that's kind of horse racing.
Yeah, it is.
All right, that's all the races. There are a couple other ungraded stakes races that day. Hey, that brings back some memories. Last year, those races.
That's right.
The first time we made the official... winner's circle there at Oakland's pretty cool.
If you haven't noticed, anytime we can bring up that story, we bring it up.
Yep. Well, so. You never know. Maybe it's a new listener. Maybe they never heard that story.
That's true.
I'm not going to tell it again, but shout out to the Von Hemels. That was cool.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Let's go to backtrack even more. Friday be our first day. That's what I like about these trips because, we do a lot go... on a Friday and one of the big races on Saturday, but sometimes you just go for a Saturday Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and you almost feel like it's nice to kind of get acclimated into it. And Fridays, you're there Friday, and you're kind of relaxing. We've been up at Blossom several times,
yeah.
And it's nice because it's such a casual, just laid back day, And then you kind of, you're prepping yourself. It's like, it's almost like you're fine-tuning everything and you're getting ready. And then Saturday is when it gets real.
Yeah, I can remember, other than the Zenyatta day.
Right.
It usually is the day where you just have a blast. Because it's not the final day. There's not 70,000 people there.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
That Blossom was Zenyatta. It was a little different, though.
That may have been my favorite game ever in Oakland, but...
Okay, so, yeah. I'm a little disappointed, to be quite honest with you, with the field. I mean, it's good field. You know, obviously, close hatches, headlines of field. But the only bringing a field of five, it's a grade one, you know, 600K. It's a little disappointing to me. But close hatches, you know, the real rose to gold. Stanwyck, on fire, baby. Let faith arise. Stanwyck's a horse that a lot of people are big on coming in. Of course, you got on fire, baby, at 9-2. But really... you know, Let Faith Arise 3-1, but there's really nothing comparing to Close Hatches at 3-5.
I'll make this very simple. Close Hatches easily the best horse in the race. Now, if you're going to play somebody other than her, I think it has to be number 4 on Fire Baby, and here's why. She won the race last time out. She's got the home track advantage. I know Close Hatches beat her last time, but I think on Fire Baby really needed that race, coming in off a long layoff. Now, I think she's going to run her best race. Is it good enough? No, probably not. But she does have a lot of factors on her side. I'm not going to be shocked if she wins. I think you have to play her on your tickets. But Close Hatches. That's the pick.
Yeah, I mean, given... you know, On Fire Baby kind of came out last year, you know, whenever she won that kind of, she had been off layoff. And I think a lot of people bet her that last race at Oakland in the Azari because she was also off that layoff as well and thought, well, she'll be ready to go. But it was clear that she needed the race, but it was also clear that, you know, she ran pretty well until the end of the race. Mm-hmm. You know, she, so you got to think that that race was definitely needed. I'm with you. There's not a doubt for me. I mean, Close Hatches is my single of that day for sure. Just that horse, what that horse did last time made that look way too easy. And a lot of people maybe, it kind of got overshadowed that day because of you know, everything that happened later on, like with the Rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Because that race was incredible what she did. And granted, it was a kind of a weird track. Is playing right after it had gotten rated down a little bit with the rain, but she made it look so easy, and you love that she's had the race. You know, she's had a race under her belt at Oakland. I like her.
Well, here's the other thing. I'll say one more thing about it. Here's the deal. She probably needed that race last time too. She was coming off a long layoff, hadn't ran since the Breeders' Cup. So that's the scary thing. She could make a progression off that race.
Yeah.
And
maybe there's a reason why only four horses.
Oh, there's a damn good reason. That's a damn good horse. She finished second in the Breeders' Cup ladies.
Wants to come face her.
No. So, yeah, you're right. She's a single, most likely. If I get really scared, I'm going to put... On Fire Baby in.
No, you get scared easily.
I do get very scared.
All right, let's go to Keeneland. It's going to wrap up. It's going to be the last time we talk about Oakland.
That's it.
Previews for this year.
There it is.
Oh, my... Oh, guys, a tear just ran down his face.
No.
It's okay. Okay, let's go to Keeneland. we're gonna kick it off, obviously, with the Bluegrass Stakes. Another derby prep to go along with the Arkansas Derby. I mean, I've already looked at this field, and I'm looking at it again. Good Lord. I mean, field of 14, in the race that's notoriously known as just being kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, good luck, I guess. I'm not even going to go through them all because I'll get tired of mentioning all the names, but Pletcher obviously is like, hey, we're going to throw some horses out here.
Yeah.
We're just going to throw the dart and see what happens. But obviously, we got to talk about the horse that is appearing on everyone's, at least a lot of people's, including ours, derby list. And that is the horse that's never even ran on dirt. And that's Bobby's Kitten.
Well, luckily, this one's not on the dirt. But yeah, a lot of
he's
people...
He's never even ran on anything other than the turf.
The turf, yeah. But I know what you're trying to say. A lot of people are like, why the hell you have him ranked? He's never even ran on dirt. He's never even ran on synthetic.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what? This is a dumbass race. This is just ridiculous. It's going to be great to watch.
It's going to be a fun race.
It is. I can't give you any kind of, you know.
That's what all these races are at.
What advice can I give you really on this? I'm going Bobby's Kitten because I've got him ranked. And I do believe if Bobby's Kitten can run on this, he's going to romp.
Yeah.
Because I think he's talent-wise,
he's
super talented.
I'm open, obviously, for our fantasy wager.
But when I look at this field, I can't sit here and say, you better play Bobby's Kitten because, hell, he's going to be 2-3-1. You got 14 horses. It's a big damn mess.
Well, it would not be good advice to say you got to bet this horse.
Hell no. No.
This is one of those that we would say, you know, definitely just trust your handicapping, mm-hmm. you know. And if you like a horse and you say, well, gosh, it's 20-1, bet the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. There's no rhyme or reason why you should not bet that.
No. None at all.
I don't know what we'll get. It just depends. But I'm going with you got to think Bobby's Kitten will be the favorite, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's going to be clear.
Yeah.
Anytime you get maybe a second, third favorite in a Pletcher or John Velasquez combo, I'll take. I mean, you might get, I don't know where you're going to get with that, to be honest with you. 5-1, I think it'll want to say is where he's at right now. Maybe you'll get around that. Maybe you get 10-1. I would love it, though. But, yeah. Again, that's just it's a value play considering the connections. And your horse is okay, but it wouldn't surprise you if you won.
I'll give you one not to bet, number 11, Coastline. So I just sent Coastline to the winner's circle right there when I said that. But, you know, he might hit the board, but he's just a hanging.
This race gives me a headache just looking at it.
It's like I said, I will definitely stagger over on Saturday to the
stagger is a weird word for it.
Stagger over to the simulcast area, and I will definitely watch this race because I'm very curious to see what happens. This is a ridiculous race, so good luck in it. If you're playing any kind of multi-races at Keeneland, I know you can't go thin in too many, but you got to go real deep in this one.
You will earn any money you make at Keeneland on Saturday.
Yes.
That is for damn sure, because this is a ridiculous race. Let's go real fast. Let's backtrack, because the other big race of Keeneland's weekend, it's on Friday, and of course you have the Makers 46 Mile Stakes, and it's really the thing you need to say is it's the return of Wise Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Wise Dan, Horse of the Year, comes back. This is he always makes his appearance at some point. These years we've been spoiled watching him run, and he makes his appearance back at Keeneland. You know, a place we know he likes to. Where does he not like to run?
That's true.
Only field of 7 here. Clearly, Wise Dan in there, but there's a few in here that I think I might look at. But go ahead. I hear you. I hear you.
Wise Dan is my pick, but I do want to say one thing. If you want to try to beat him, I don't blame you, because you can't bet him really. Yeah. I mean, you can single him, you know, and that's fine. But you can't bet him straight. I would pick Zaw Approval if you're trying to beat him on the win end, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe go across the board on Zaw Approval. Because here's the thing. If Wise Dan doesn't win, he may not hit the board because something's probably went wrong with him, right? So
right.
I think
that's a good point.
I think an across the board bet on Zaw Approval would be good. If the horse finishes second, Zaw Approval finishes second, you know, you won't lose a lot of money. So that's where I would go. I would go with Zaw Approval if you're going to bet it. But I'm not. On the website, you're going to see number 3, Wise Dan, as the pick. Because I'm not going to, you know.
You're not going to be that guy.
I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to pick against him. It would be stupid to say I'm going to pick against him. I think that's a big difference between this is my pick and this is what I'm going to bet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Wise Dan, he obviously stand out. And I don't have to say anything more.
Yeah. I'm not sitting here going to say, well, I think
you're going to go down the same road as I did,
this
right?
Horse is better than Wise Dan.
Right.
No. But
right.
You're exactly right. You're not going to play him to win. You're going to play him as a single if you're going to, you know, if you think that, okay, let me ask you this. If you're playing him as single. Like, no, every single circumstance, you're playing him as a single, right?
Yeah.
There's not a, like, well, this horse could, like, Zaw Approval. You like Zaw Approval. That horse, if I can afford it.
No.
There's nothing that says.
Unless the race was to come off the turf.
Well, yeah.
Then, but, yeah. But no.
Okay.
I just can't do it. I mean, here's the other thing you could do. If you're going to single him, then play your small wager on the horse you think might beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a few different scenarios here. I like the horse, Lochte, at number six. You made fun of me for liking that horse last time. He didn't win, but he did run pretty well.
Ran great.
Reload is another horse that I think could run pretty well. And then I like Zaw Approval as well. I think, depending on what those odds are, I think all those are going to be, what are they, like 5-6 to 1 right now, and you probably get that at least. Playing a few, like if you want to play a few small win bets on all three of those in the race, do like a 5 to 1 on each of them. If you're like just wanting to put some value or do even more. Or a play I kind of like is either playing a part will, like try or something, and making sure that you put Wise Dan in there, but also include, or you could think of it this way and say, well, if a try comes with Wise Dan on top, I'm not going to make anything anyways. So you might as well just put, say you put Lochte, say you do a try box with those I mentioned, Lochte, Reload, and Zaw Approval.
That'd be good.
If Wise Dan's out, that thing's going to pay huge.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you're going to have the issue with if you're going to kill yourself if you're like, oh, I called that, but I didn't get the last part of the try. I had Zaw Approval and I had Lochte up front, but I didn't have. So just, whatever you're comfortable betting, do it. But me personally in this race, I'm taking a shot on Lochte. Just because I like the horse.
It's one of those things, if you want, to me, it's not totally stupid to bet against him here, because if you're going to beat him, he's an older horse, first time out.
This is a race.
Yeah, because you're not going to beat him later, so.
You look at his past performances, though, there's not a lot of beating going on.
No, I mean, don't bet a lot, but I don't know, I mean, I just think there's got to be some point where he comes back and he doesn't run well.
Right.
And maybe this is the race. Maybe age is finally like, okay, no, he needs two races before he's ready, instead of, he can just go out and kick your ass right now.
Right.
That's what I keep thinking. So maybe that's why.
Because I think that's going to happen with him. And it I don't has know to, when eventually. It is.
Yeah.
Because they've said it many times that with him, which is awesome, they're not shying away from things. It's like they might try him different places, just because they have all this freedom, they have a really good horse, and they want to try it. So you could see a horse like that that's still really, really good just get beat because for whatever reason.
Yep, you could.
But you don't think so to this on Friday?
No, probably not.
It'll be a fun race, though.
Yeah, it will be fun.
All right, let's go back to Saturday where it gets just stupid ridiculous. And we'll start off, we're just going to run through these. The Commonwealth Stakes, this is race 7. If you're following along, race 7 on Saturday at Keeneland. Commonwealth Stakes, grade 3. This one's going 7 furlongs on the all-weather track, 175K. We, Halter and I both looked at this kind of together, field of 12, and we had a few choice words for it.
Yeah, impossible is the word. I went with number 7, Long Hunter, but I have nothing here.
I went with number 1, Laugh Track. It was kind of Cassie, but again, there's nothing we can tell you right here that says, oh, here's why you should bet this horse. I mean, this, if you're playing the pick 4, pick 5, you have to play with the pick 3. You better be going deep in this race.
Yeah.
Next race, the Shakertown Stakes, grade 3, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Those are always interesting. 100K for 4-year-olds and up. Another huge field of 13. And guess what? Another crazy huge field that we really don't know.
No, this is another one. And I hate that we're on here and we're just like, I don't have a clue, but I really don't. I don't have a clue. I went with Channel Marker. I don't know why.
Well, I did too, so I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, well.
I don't know, but let's hope the rail is on fire that day.
Yeah, okay. That's why. That's why we did, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the rail, you know, 5.5 furlongs on the turf of Keeneland and rail. We all know the rail is where you want to be.
I don't know anything about Keeneland right now.
Madison Stakes, grade one, 300K, 7 furlongs on all weather track. Field of nine. Hopefully you guys are looking at these with us, or you've already looked at them when you're listening to this, because, if there's a horse in here, the way I would describe these fields is if there's a horse in any of these fields we're talking about, where you've been following, you know, like, kind of like with me, well, it's a little different, but with Lofty, where it's like, oh, you've liked that horse, and it's like, this horse maybe is overmatched, or whatever the odds are, it's like, if you like the horse, there's a reason behind it, stick with it.
Bet it, yep.
I picked a horse that I know is not going to win.
That's always good. That's the smartest thing we do for this podcast.
I went with number two, Aprobo. I know that.
I listened to you.
I know she's not going to win.
Tell me, we were getting ready, that horse isn't going to win.
Yeah.
You really just picked that horse.
I did. I did. I like her. What did you just say? You know, hey, if you like a horse you've been following, you really like it, pick it. Well, no,
but then I added, I get to make fun of.
Okay, well, I picked it. I picked that horse because I really like the horse.
Hey, you know what?
I know she's not going to win. I've seen her step up against Graded Company and not run well, so I know she's not going to do it, but.
I got another one for you that's not going to win.
Okay.
Judy the Beauty.
Yeah, she's not going to win. No, she might. She's okay.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel with that one, too.
Next. We're rolling through these.
Can you play all in the pick five?
You can. You're going to have a lot of money, though.
Okay. There's got to be some kind of, like, you know, mathematics to that, you know? If you think it's going to pay out, it's going to be astronomical, then, of course, you're going to roll off five favorites to win these. Okay, the race 10, last one we're going to talk about. The Ginny Wiley Stakes. Love that name. Grade 1. Mile 16th on the turf. Phillies mare, 4-year-olds and up. Another field. It's at least it's getting a little better now. A field of 10. Who do you like?
You know, I think this one might have a chance to win. Number two, Stephanie's Kitten is who I'm going with.
And I do kind of like that horse.
I do like that that you feel like a little more confident.
Yeah, like I mean, come on. I mean,
it's your single, right?
No.
Of this pick.
Well, forward. If I had to single somebody, that'd probably be her. But
isn't that crazy to think?
Yeah, it is.
That's your single.
Here's the deal. I mean, here's the deal. Yeah, it is. It's insane, really. But here's the deal on Stephanie's Kitten. She's really good. Like, you know, she's really good. But here's the deal with this race. There's a lot of really good fillies in this race. Mm-hmm. Fillies and mares. I mean, so. But I've always liked her. I really like Discreet Mark. I really like Emotional Kitten. Abaco's a horse I'm not, you know, I don't hate. Cloudscapes is pretty good, but I do like Stephanie's Kitten. I always kind of have, and first race back, you know, I think she'll run pretty good.
I like the other kitten, Emotional Kitten.
Okay, well, because you are an Emotional Kitten, so I understand.
That is my nickname in high school, so that was crazy.
I think I gave it to you.
Wonder how that came about.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add for this high-intensity race day?
No, not really. I think I've done enough for you, which pretty much I didn't help anybody at all on this podcast, especially Keeneland.
What is your best bet? We got to give him something, especially after ending with those last couple races. What is your best bet out of all the races we covered tonight?
Oh, all the races we covered. And why is Dan? No, he's the best bet.
Over Will Take Charge?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. Well, that's... yeah, I do. I think so.
Close Hatches?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So Wise Dan, then where?
I would probably rank them Wise Dan, Will Take Charge, Close Hatches. Yeah.
Because they're going to want to know. Someone's going to want to bet $1,000 on Wise Dan, since that's your...
You know, I would not bet $1,000 on Wise Dan. I probably wouldn't bet anything to win.
$1,000 to win $100.
You know, the thing about it is, I really like Friday's Oaklawn card just you know, the regular races. So I would tell people, if you're going to the track Friday or if you're betting Oaklawn Friday, look at our win picks for Friday, because I've obviously they're not up yet, but they will be Thursday night. I like 4 or 5 of them.
Right, that's all the time we have. Check us out at racedudes.com for our free picks and our simple plays available every weekend, as well as every day for Oaklawn, now Keeneland, and Fauner Park. We're currently covering 16 tracks now, which is crazy. All offering free picks, hence why we don't have any time.
Right.
Check that out. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes. We're on Facebook. We're on Google+. We will be at Oaklawn on Friday and Saturday all day. So if you're there, you know, don't be shy. Hit us up. We definitely like meeting all you guys.
We've met a lot of new people, and it's been awesome every time.
Yeah.
So either you're going to come see us, and we're going to say, well, that wasn't awesome, and you'll be the first, or it'll be awesome. Probably be awesome, right?
Definitely be awesome.
Okay.
Final thing, you know, website. We keep promising this website, and it's going to happen. We decided we'd push it till right after the Arkansas Derby, just given that we're not going to be here. We're going to be out of town, so we wanted to kind of get it set up and ready and launched when we're both here, and hopefully there's no catastrophic issues.
Well, and that, honest to God, that's why we didn't do it, because if we launched it, say, Friday, and it went down, we would be at the track. Right. And so we thought it'd be safer to just wait. And also, you don't want to launch it on a week where a ton of people are going to be coming to the site. And, you know, you want everything to go right this week.
Right, yeah. We know how fickle you all are, you know.
We do.
Piss you off.
You won't come back.
You may go somewhere else.
Most of you have anyway. So the ones that are left, we got to keep you.
Let's be honest. If there's someone still listening to this podcast right at this very moment, then they're true fans.
They are. They
and
are.
We appreciate you.
We do.
Mom. All right, that's all the time we have. I'm Jared Welch. Do you want to say it?
Say what?
Do you want to say I'm Aaron Altman?
No, that's fine.
I was really going to try to. I looked at you, I was like, man, if you said I'm Aaron Altman, it's going to be awesome at the way they end that thing.
Oh, that would be cool. No, nope. That's
it. Yeah, he's Aaron Altman.
Goodbye.
Good luck, sweetie.